Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Today I'm delighted to be speaking on the phone with Marie Gates. She is the author of Are We Our Past Lives? Soul Patterns in Personalities and Relationships. Stay tuned because Marie is about to give us some of her own past life experiences and actually find her past life daughter in New England. But before we continue, I'd like you to know a little bit about Marie. Born in Port Huron, Michigan, Marie Gates earned her M.A. in psychology from Wayne State University. For several years, she taught in colleges and universities. Marie has spent about 30 years exploring reincarnation. Hypnotic regressions and spiritual healing sessions revealed a number of her past lives, and she's going to be talking about some of those today. By sharing her experiences, Marie hopes to enlighten her readers about reincarnation and how it affects their lives. Hi, Marie.
Hello, Irene.
This is one of my favorite topics, and I'm so excited to be talking to you.
Oh, I'm happy. I always like to enlighten people.
Well, I'm going to start off with something just really interesting to really let our listening audience know about the reality of reincarnation. And from what I understand, that you were able to find your past life daughter in New England.
Yes, I was.
I just got goosebumps, so tell me.
Oh, I'll tell you, this really changed my life. How it started was I had a very strange dream. It was about an extraterrestrial and a human, a woman. And it wasn't so much the content of the dream as it was the place where the dream was. It was just so peaceful, and it was like heaven. When my husband awakened me, I got angry with him. I wanted to go back to that place. I wanted to live there forever. And I was just so struck by the feelings that I had about this. And because I thought maybe it was a past life that I'd had, could even be a future life, I didn't know. Well, at the time, I was teaching at the University of Alabama. I was teaching psychology, and I had a student who knew a hypnotist who did past life regression, and she asked me if I were interested, and at first I thought, well, I don't know. I really didn't believe in reincarnation. But then I thought of the dream. I thought, well, maybe it would shed some light on this strange dream I had. So I decided to go to the hypnotist. And we uncovered 5 past lives, and one of them was in New Haven, Connecticut, in the 30s and 40s. And I gave the name of the woman that I was and her husband's name. So we moved back to Michigan because we really liked Michigan better than the South. And so my husband said, why don't you go investigate this life? So I said, oh, fine. So I took a flight out to New Haven. As soon as I got there, after I checked into the hotel, I went to the library. And I understood that where to find people might be in the past directories of the city. So I went and looked. I said a prayer, even though I didn't even know what to believe at that point. I was an agnostic. And so I said a prayer anyway, just in case.
You're funny.
So I looked at it, lo and behold, there was her husband's name. I give them all false names in these stories because I don't want people to have their privacy invaded or anything. So I call them the Randalls. Amanda Randall was the woman I was, and her husband's name I give is Jacob. So anyway, his name was in the phone book, and her name, a variety of Amanda, it wasn't exactly Amanda, it would have been Mandy or something is what I had given under hypnosis, but it was given as Amanda in the directory. So I thought, oh my gosh, here I have it. You know, I was really excited. Of course, it gave me the directory gave the name of the place where they had lived. So the next day I took a bus out. This was in the downtown area of New Haven. It was an old area. And I was surprised to see that the address was to a liquor store, believe it or not. And I thought, well, this is strange. But then knowing that it was a long time ago that the woman that I was had lived there, I thought, well, things change over time. So I went in, and fortunately there was a young man there that was buying the building from the owner who had had the building in the 1940s. And he knew his name and phone number, gave it to me. I went back to my hotel, and I called him up. And sure enough, he knew that family from the 40s. This was in the 1970s when I first did this exploration. It was about 79, I think it was 1979. Anyway, so he knew the married name of the girl who had grown up there. Gave it to me, didn't know her phone number, so I just kept calling until I finally reached her. And she was very open-minded. All of this was happening just like clockwork, like it was meant to happen. I really didn't have any trouble at all. She started talking about her family because I said I was doing some genealogy. Of course, it was a different kind of genealogy, I mean, past life genealogy, but nevertheless, it could fit under that general category. And she didn't ever ask me why I chose her family or anything. She just started talking about her family and especially her mother. And her mother had a very tough life during the Depression because the husband had lost his job and he was working for the DPW, the Department of Public Works, for a while. She was a stenographer for the A&P grocery store chain. And she worked very hard. Then she'd have to come home and do the housework. She had a family, a daughter and a son. And I'm sure helped them with their homework and do everything else we do when we get home from work. Saturday it was especially difficult, and this is what I could really relate to. She had to send her wash because they lived in the city. Actually, the apartments were above and behind what was now the liquor store, but it had been a bakery at one time. It had been a florist shop at one time. I found this from the past life daughter. And they didn't have any place to hang their clothes out like on a line. If you lived in the suburbs or the country, that's where you would dry your clothes before they had clothes dryers. They had to send their clothes to the wet wash, and it would come back literally wet. And it must have been the linens as well as the clothing. They had to iron all day. She and her mother had to iron all day. That must have been really exhausting. So I can imagine why this woman only lived to be 53. She had an ulcer, and it ruptured when her brother was to come home from, this was the past life daughter I'm talking about. Her name's also Amanda. They were both named Amanda. Amanda said her brother was coming home from World War II, and the mother just worked herself to death to get the apartment in order. She was a real perfectionist. And the night, I think before he was supposed to come back from the military, from the army, she had the bleeding ulcer. The ulcer started to bleed, and they took her to the hospital. The father had insisted on a Catholic hospital because that was his background. He'd been raised Catholic. And when Amanda said Catholic hospital, it really rang a bell, because when I was a young child, even before I could talk, I remembered myself as an old woman dying in a hospital bed, and it was in a Catholic hospital because the nuns were dressed in their habits in those days. And my daughter was with me, and I was just chilled to the bone when I heard that. I said, were you with your mother when you died, or when she died? And Amanda said, yes, I held her hand. And I could still remember the daughter standing beside my bed, and she was in a long wool coat and a scarf, that's what they wore in those days. And this was February in New Haven, Connecticut, so she would be wearing a long coat. She had just come before work to visit her mother. Mother died about 6 a.m. And that was my memory. It wasn't confirmed. And so that's what made me really believe that I had been her, not just because I had found the names in the city directory and tracked her down, but it was validating my memory that I'd had from childhood, and I could not explain in any other way. My mother thought it was a dream, and of course in this culture that's what we say. We're not like Hindus that believe in reincarnation, where we might encourage a child to speak about it if we believed in it. So that was it. And then, of course, when I got some photographs from Amanda, photographs of her mother, I could recognize that there's a facial similarity. And I have the photographs in both of my books, of the one of my past life personality, Amanda, when she was about 20, and one of me when I was 21. And we can really see that there is a facial resemblance between the two. And then, of course, there are other things like the fact that we're both outgoing and had a lot of friends. And the other thing is we're not very religious. Amanda rarely attended church unless her daughter was involved, like in a program or something like that. I don't. I was raised Catholic, but I left the church in part because it didn't satisfy my need for spirituality. I thought it was just too much, too many rules. Not enough love was emphasized. God's love is very important to me. And that was not, it was all the things that you should do or you're going to be punished. And I just didn't go for it. And there were just a lot of the teachings that I couldn't agree with. So I left. And it was sort of like Amanda, who I was in the past life. She wasn't too fond of organized religion either. And then we're both perfectionists. So that's what led to her death, I think, was she got herself, she was exhausted from trying to clean the house because everything had to be perfect. So that personality characteristic carried through. Also the fact that she was dealing with words in her work. She was a stenographer. Her daughter became an aide in the schools, a teacher's aide. And, of course, I was a college instructor. It was all that sort of thing, working with words rather than your hands. Well, she was sort of working with her hands, pecking a typewriter, but it was more like she had a knowledge of words. So I thought those things tied me to Amanda, but I had no relationship as far as family goes. Now, some of these reincarnation cases that Dr. Ian Stevenson, he's the world's most famous reincarnation researcher. He works through the University of Virginia. He was endowed with a grant so he could travel the world to cover all these reincarnation cases. He studied children, and he had 2,500 cases where he thought there was strong evidence for reincarnation. He would never come right out and say it was proof because he was a scientist. And he had to be careful with how he phrased things, but it was about the closest thing to proof that people are going to be able to get. So anyway, that was my story. When I approached him, I had written him some letters. He thought my case was not fully developed enough because it was mostly just my memory from childhood that tied me to Amanda. And with his other cases, he would have people where the mother would have a dream that she was going to have a child that would be a reincarnation maybe of another child in the community, or it could even be her own child that had died. And there would be things like evidence of people living close together in a community where the soul could actually have gone from the person who died into the pregnant mother, into the fetus. And cases like that, he has some fascinating cases. It's too bad that he is more of an academic, and most people that are in the general community wouldn't come across him. But if you're, of course, a psychologist, you'd be doing research, and you could come across that. But anyway,
Marie, you had mentioned that the facial recognition, and I find that very interesting. I want to just relate an experience that I have had, and this is with our daughter. For many years, she said to me, "Are you sure we're not American Indian?" And I kept saying, "No, there's nothing in our lineage that is American Indian," until I started doing genealogy to find out that actually her father, my husband's lineage goes back to the Cherokee, and as we went ahead and started discovering all this, we found relatives that actually had pictures. And like you, we take the picture of our daughter's fourth great-grandmother and take a picture of her, and they're identical.
Oh, wow.
And she says, see, I told you so. So that was really interesting in that you brought that up.
Amazing, yeah.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Marie Gates, author of Are We Our Past Lives? As you've heard so far, Marie has been delving a lot into her own past life experiences and has a full understanding of how it affects her life now. If you'd like to connect with Marie, her website address is arewearepastlives.com. Reincarnation. So, you know, there's, and you were one that didn't believe it in the first place.
No.
And there are many that don't and many that do. But, okay, so we do believe it. What do you feel that the purpose is for us to reincarnate?
Oh, it all has to do with karma.
Uh-huh. What is karma?
Oh, karma is mostly described as cause and effect, but it can be thought of in other ways, like some even think of it as memory, and that could be both positive and negative memories. There can be negative karma and there can be positive karma. If you have led a good life, you might go into the next life and reap the benefits of that by maybe being in a favorable social position and being able to have the career you wanted, because when you were in the past life, you helped other people in their lives. And so you earned some good karma. So I don't always, I always like to mention that in addition to negative karma, there's also positive karma. Well, a good example of negative karma is from one of my past lives in my book. I was a young gold miner in California during the gold rush, and I had traveled to California because I didn't get along with my father. And we have to realize that we all come into these lives with other people to work out our karma with that had we've been in past lives with before. Well, it turned out my incompetent father, who couldn't build a chicken coop right, so the animals would run off with the chickens, he couldn't put it together right, is now my son.
Ah.
And so we are, of course, working that out. We have had quite a lot of visits to psychologists and psychiatrists because of his attention deficit disorder. And, of course, if you have attention deficit disorder, you have trouble sometimes just functioning in life. And some of that energy might have come through from the life in which he was an incompetent farmer in the 1800s. But anyway, he was my son, or he is my son. He was my father. I ran away from him because I got so tired of his incompetence that I ran all the way to California. I had to earn my way. I was only 13 years old, but I looked older. Had to earn my way, like cleaning stables and things like that, to get to California. But I got there, and unfortunately, I got hooked up with two criminals in order to get a gold mining permit, I guess they call it, or stake a claim. I had to go with somebody older. I was only a teenager, and I really needed guidance. So I got involved with the wrong men. So I dug all the gold. We did get the gold. but the partners decided not to share it with me. And instead of taking it to the bank, they put it in a cave. Now, this was a low-lying cave near a degraded area stream where the water would be coming in. And I found the gold in the cave, and I became enraged. And so my partners, I guess, must have heard me shouting and came, tied me up in the cave, took the gold, and put stones at the mouth of the cave so I couldn't get out. Well, I was in such a rage that I just tried to dig myself out of the mud. The more that I dug, the more it came in. And I suffocated. And I was just short of my 18th birthday. Well, what do I have? I have a relative. I never say who exactly he is. I don't want to embarrass him. But I have a relative who has been involved in what you might say are questionable business deals. And he also had trouble with his stomach. They had to make, or trouble with his esophagus, I should say. It was so badly eroded that at the Mayo Clinic, they had to make it his stomach into his esophagus. And he had been suffering for quite a while. He had trouble breathing. He had trouble swallowing. Went to the hospital, and the doctors did a procedure, I think, on his throat, so that he could swallow and he could breathe again. Well, I am working on this chapter in my book on the gold mining young man when my relative calls me on the phone. And he says, this is almost the exact words, "Don't ever die of suffocation. Gasping for breath is horrible." Well, guess what he made that boy go through? He was one of those partners that had tied me up in the cave. So I was the one that had suffered by suffocating. It comes right back to him. That's karma, cause and effect.
Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned earlier, too, about future lives. And we're kind of, you know, we're talking about reincarnations, which is, of course, the past lives. Do you really believe that we can live in the present, but know and experience a future life?
Some people have claimed that they've been able to do that. Some spiritual healers will say that sometimes they do get a person that does is able to go into the future. So, yes, I believe it's possible. I haven't done it myself unless the dream that I had was of a future life, the dream between the extraterrestrial and the human, the Earth woman. I really don't know. It could have been a long time in the past if it was on a different planet, in a different world. I don't know. But, yes, I do. I think that's possible that people could go into the future, and some people think time is not linear.
Right. So you're subtitle of your book is Soul Patterns in Personalities and Relationships. Just tell us what you mean by that.
Okay, again, I can get back to my relative from the gold rush story, how he would have a pattern of dishonest behavior, like cheating the boy out of the gold, and then eventually it led to actually killing the boy, although he didn't physically shoot him or anything like that. It led to his death when he tied him up in the cave. And so that's continued, you know, with business dealings that were not, on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one pattern. Another pattern, as I mentioned, about my son, who had been an incompetent farmer in the 1800s in the U.S., well, that type of energy that leads to maybe disorganization, of course, came out in his ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. That's what he has. He also has a really strong temper. He's broken a lot of things around the house, and just recently he ruined our stove. This is just the summer. He's back from getting his certificate in statistics from a university. He's looking for a job right now, but he's living at home. He's doing fine, like I said, with a lot of help from psychologists and psychiatrists and medication and the anger management and all this sort of thing. It's kept him out of major trouble. It's been confined to the home with breaking things around the house mostly, not to assaulting people, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But his anger, I'm sure, was part of it. Developed as a result of his being an incompetent farmer. I mean, that would make you angry. You can't put the chicken coop together, right? And the chickens all get taken away by skunks or coons or whatever would get the chickens. I'm sure that was very frustrating. And we also found he was in other past lives where there was a lot of frustration, a lot of anger. We were both in the French Revolution together. I was his stepdaughter. He was he resented me. There was anger there because he would have to pay a big dowry for me to get married. We were in the upper class. He was a duke, and that's what happened in those days. But what made him most angry must have been the fact that during the French Revolution, he was executed. So was the whole family. So was I, and lost everything, lost his life, his home, his family, his property, everything. So that would have made a person angry. That led to anger. And another life he was, the three of us were in this life together, my husband, my son, and I, in Russia during the Crimean War. He was, his dad, my husband, was a soldier in the Russian Army. And Colin, I call him in the book, that's my son's name, was drafted at the age of 16 into the Russian Army. And I followed them because they were the only family I had. It's just like now I only have him as a son. I don't have any other children because I was just completely lost not having my husband and son. I became a nurse, one of the first nurses, like Florence Nightingale, only instead of being on the British side, I was on the Russian side. And I died of dysentery. Well, we were all, you know, we all died prematurely, so here we are back to work out our karma. But anyway, I'm sure if he was in the Army at the age of 16 and he died in the Army in some way, even if it was due to dysentery or whatever, that I think would have led to anger too. So he has all these lives where the anger has built up, and here it is in this life. And when he was born angry. Mm-hmm. if you see his picture when it was taken at the hospital, he's got an angry expression on his face. Our first psychologist said because he had to be born cesarean section, an emergency cesarean, that he didn't want to come out. And maybe that's about the way it was. He didn't want to come out. He didn't want to come into this life because he was so frustrated in these other lives. And he was so angry. And so the nurses called him the screamer. And when he got home, he had colic for months. And when he was 18 months old, he was throwing toys at me. And it was just so that, of course, we went to the psychologist when he was, I don't know, maybe about three. And and they helped him for years. I mean, we're still going. In fact, we went yesterday, and this is a wonderful psychologist. We have to acknowledge in my book that he's well-known as an adolescent psychologist nationwide. He does lectures and things like that. But it does. It comes on. It's a pattern. This anger can be a pattern.
Gosh. Thanks, Marie, for coming online and talking to our listeners and just giving a little insight on reincarnation and your book, which is titled, Are We Our Past Lives? Soul Patterns in Personalities and Relationships. Listeners, we've been talking with Marie Gates, and check out this book because I think you'll find it interesting and certainly give you an opportunity to sort of look in your own lives and if you're not into believing in reincarnation, maybe just revisiting that thought. If anything, it's some good reading. Thanks, Marie.
Thank you.
And listeners, this is Irene Watson with Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.